Hello, everyone. I'm Patrick Chavez, and you are listening to LA Theater Bites, and I'm here with director Monty Cole, and he's the director of We're Gonna Die for one night only at the Bootleg Theater, February 20th through 2020. We're Gonna Die features a single singer accompanied by a full rock band as she shares stories about death, grief, and loneliness from her life. These stories range from the mundane to the tragic, from discovering her first white hair to her father's sudden and tragic death from lung cancer as he waited for an experimental treatment. Lee's songs and stories demystify grief, creating a community space that provides the solace that we need to get through those difficult moments. So, hey, so you're directing this piece. How did you become a part of this project?
Yeah, I actually, okay, so I first heard the album 4 or 5 years ago. I heard it as an album. So Youngjin Lee, who's a fantastic playwright, like nationally known, I think the last thing that was done in LA was Straight White Men. I think, like, who did that? I have no idea who did that in LA. I feel like CTG did it, but maybe not. Mm-hmm. But Youngjin Lee is a fantastic playwright, New York based, and mm-hmm. she has a dope band called Future Wife. And she made an album that was kind of a show that she did. And the album has like these songs, and then every once in a while there's a story. And sometimes it's read by like David Byrne. Sometimes it's read by, like, it changes the storyteller almost every time. But they're all Youngjin Lee's stories. And I guess when she performed it, it was just like her performing her songs and also telling her own stories. And some of them are dark, and some of them are really funny. Actually, a lot of them are funny. we've been working this week and finding a lot of them to be really funny. She has a really dark sense of humor. Mm-hmm. For me, I was listening to the album, and I was like, this is a great album. And then I somehow found out that you can get the rights to the album. And I was like, that's weird. You can get the rights to perform the album? Like, what band does that? And then I was going to direct it in Chicago, but then I moved to LA. Mm-hmm. So I gave it to my friend, a friend there. And then my dad passed away. And it was sort of really calming for me to listen to that album. It was really, it was just a lot of that album is about kind of giving gifts to deal with things, to kind of comfort you in times when you are feeling down, to help you kind of deal with life. And so I was listening to it then. And then within the year, my friend Sophie, who is a producer, her
also
dad died.
From Chicago as well?
Yes. She is also from Chicago, but currently lives in LA. So she and I had a similar move around the similar time and met each other out here. And her dad died within a year of mine. And she was looking for something to produce. But at the time, I didn't know that. And I was just like, hey, this album helps me. Maybe it will help you too. Yeah. And she fell in love with it and decided that she wanted to produce it and went ahead and being directed.
All right. So it kind of all, this all kind of came together kind of naturally. It just all kind of fell apart. You fell into each other with a connection of the love for this music, and not then you guys, and you guys just decided this needs to be made. Is that why it's only one day? Just one day, February 20th. That's all, it's one date.
Yeah. I think maybe in Sophie's perfect world, there would be a run of this thing. She is a one man band putting this together. I think there's something so goddamn special to the fact, because it's basically a concert. Like, it's not really a play. It's a dope concert you're going to with stories in between. And that's kind of how we're considering it. Like, I love that this is the LA premiere, but it's also like the one production where it's happening at a concert venue. It's one night only. It has a real band, the Laugh Queens, as like the band. there's something really authentic about this production where when she's telling her stories, it feels like this is the only time you're going to get to hear this versus this is a run of a show and you're going to, every night she tells these really emotional stories. It's like more like it feels like this actress is pushed up on stage and now she's in a space where she's has to vulnerably tell what's happened to her.
So that you're using a different band, using the Laugh Queens for this version of the play or concert play, whatever we want to put this into. How does using the Laugh Queens instead of the original band make the production different in your opinion?
Yeah, so wonderfully, Young Jin Lee puts in the scripts kind of like, do whatever you want to make this thing yours. Mm-hmm. And literally the back of the script is just a chord sheet. Like, it's not specific music. It's just like A sharp, F sharp major, you know? Like it's not really telling you exactly how to do it. And it's saying like, it'd be nice if you had a bassist. Like, it's not telling you exactly how to do it.
Yeah.
And what I've loved so much about this process is that I truly trust Steph, who is the lead vocalist for the Laugh Queens, to kind of just tell the story the way she wants to on her end. And I'm helping Priscilla, the performer, get through the monologues on my end. And the Laugh Queens already have a sound and they have a perspective and they already know what they're doing and they are going to make something. They already are making something really amazing. They're actually probably, I think, rehearsing as we speak, and they send me recordings and it sounds so good. It's not like musical theater. It sounds like a dope rock band that you listen to in your car. And it just so happens to be written by a playwright.
Do you have it looks like I can tell that you've definitely studied theater and drama and maybe even directed musicals. I don't know. You didn't have to tell me, but this seems like so different than that kind of stuff. Do you have a musical background that maybe could have helped you in this process? How did you kind of work your way through this? Was it a hard, experience putting this thing together as the director of this kind of, it's a little bit out of the ordinary.
Totally. I'm a director from Chicago. I went to Emerson College for my undergrad in theater studies. I did a lot of producing and then directing in Chicago. I was the artistic programs manager at Victory Gardens, which is a fancy way of saying catch-all producer. I was the casting director. I was a producer. I was in charge of the disability program there. A lot of things, and I kind of made the leap into becoming an artist by going to grad school at CalArts a few years ago. I went to CalArts for directing.
They're helping sponsor a little bit of this, right? CalArts.
True, Institute? They are. It's very nice of them to give money to alumnus. I've been directing for a while now. This last year I directed at the Goodman Theater and Steppenwolf in Chicago, and after this I'm going to Oregon Shakespeare OSF, and I'm directing Black Odyssey by Marcus Gardley. Which is a huge, it's very similar in the sense that it's a huge, huge, huge epic play that is a 9-person cast. And it's, they like to say it's a play with music, but that thing is basically a musical. It's like every five songs, every five pages, there's a song. And you're like, oh man, no, this is a musical, guys. And that's happening in the big Elizabethan theater up there.
Nice.
Their huge, huge theater up there. They'll be running for like 5 months, I think, from June to October. In that sense, it's the opposite if we're going to die. Anyways, so that all to say, I have experience directing theater. That's my background. And before I was an undergrad, I did a lot of musicals, and I played piano from when I was like 5 to 18, and recently I've been picking it up again. So I have this musical background. It's been really fun doing this because I've been using less of my musical theater knowledge and using more of my, like, what makes going to a concert fun knowledge mixed with, like, how could I make a concert experience cathartic?
Right. So that's where you're coming from. You're coming from not necessarily a play, but how can I make this concert more theatrical? That's an interesting approach. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Which hopefully will make it more accessible and less about like, hey, theater people, come and do this, but more like, this is a fun night out in LA that will make you feel your feels, but also will make you feel more alive. Hmm.
So what, when we're talking about rock, this is a rock concert. What kind of rock music are we listening to here? There's so many genres. There's punk, there's metal, there's hard rock. There's goth rock. What kind of music are we talking about here? Exactly.
Totally. I think, so I'm thinking right now like a St. Vincent, I'm thinking like indie, a lot of alternative, like a female lead singer alternative sound. And sometimes it has the feeling of like, oh, I feel like this one song that's totally inspired by like Sting, but they make it into something more modern. Like the bass line of it sounds, I think Steph and I were like, this sounds like Message in a Bottle, basically. But it's made modernized in a really, really cool way. But yeah, I would say like indie music. I'm remembering like when I was in high school, I would listen to things like The Shins and like The Decemberists. And one thing specifically I'm thinking about The Decemberists is that their music was so theatrical. I mean, literally they had a song. I remember my theater nerd self. There's one song called I Was Made for the Stage. Mm-hmm. And it was just so like theater nerd angst. Like, the lyrics was like, I was made for the stage. I was made for the curtain. I was made to tread these boards of this much, I'm certain. And, but the whole song and the whole, so much of their music was all about like, huge theatricality and huge epic moments that they were describing through indie music. And that's kind of how I feel about this. It feels really personal, but also it has a little bit of theatricality to it.
All right. So this is definitely, this is a concert, but it's a concert. Be prepared if you're coming to a concert like this. This is a concert, not where you're going to unplug your brain. You want to come. This is a concert where you're opening up your brain. You're listening. And you're actually getting a story, you're getting something, and maybe something you want to talk about after the concert, as opposed to just mindlessly jumping around and going, "Woo! Well, that's a nice beat. It's a little different, huh?"
The end is definitely a wee bit of woo.
okay, we got a mixture of woo and thought all together.
Definitely. I mean, I would say that it's less about. I think our goal is that it's less about thinking and more about feeling, that it's more about the heart and more about the emotion of it, that we're trying to find moments where we're connecting to the audience in that way. And what's so interesting to me is I see that happening more and more in concerts recently, where like I watch a Tyler, the Creator concert, and it's about feeling I have a friend who loves Mitski, and like she does some amazing things with the theatricality in her concerts. And it's about kind of Half Alive does that too recently, where they do like choreography moments that like, but they're just like a rock band that sometimes just dips into like very specific choreography. And it really is about like you may know the lyrics, but here we are. We're going to make an experience out of this. And this is, you probably don't know the lyrics. And we're still going to try to make an experience out of this and make you have just as much fun and also feel just as much as a band that you already know.
It's only one person doing most of this this show. What are you bringing to this when you're directing her?
Yeah, it's two things really right now. So a lot of it is, you know, because a lot of it's stories. I've been talking to her a lot about story structure and about how we tell stories. So one, on a very basic level, talking about the Aristotelian like structure of a story, like what is the status quo, like what is just like, hey, so once upon a time there was a village, and then there's the inciting incident, but then this happened. Or a lot of times when Young Jin Lee is writing, she's saying, this thing happened, but let me give you a little context as to who this person is. And then I'm going to go back to the thing that happened, which is almost to say, like, here's a hook, but let me give you some context for the hook. Okay, now we're back to the hook. And then there's the rising action, which is like, this happened, but then this happened. And then this happened, but then this happened. And then the climax of, and then this happened, and then the denouement, right? And yeah. So that's kind of like in our bones. Like, even if I'm like technically talking about that, that's like in everything you see and everything you watch. But sometimes it's kind of hard to identify on the page. And so walking her through that and trying to identify that, because it helps. If we can nail that, we can nail what the audience's relationship to the thing is, and we can help them keep the tension, because it is just one person. And then the other side of it is, we just want it to feel personal to her. So Young Jin Lee wonderfully has said, like, yo, if you need things to feel more like the performer, feel free to make small changes. And Priscilla has been like, I don't really need to make these changes just yet. And a lot of it is because, I mean, she's a fantastic actress, like really good. But also because she is making those connections in to her personal life already. And a lot of it already feels authentic and real to her. And and just, yeah, you see her go on this journey, and it's really moving to watch already. And we're like, what, 4 rehearsals in? And we already are like, damn. it's really great.
So what it sounds like, you don't necessarily want to I don't know, intrude into the actor too much. It sounds like you prefer, and you could tell me if I'm wrong, you prefer to just kind of really get a good deep understanding of the material that's being worked on, and just kind of be like that support, or that to really fill those cracks in with the actor and let the actor work from there. Is that kind of your approach? That's kind of sounded like what you do. Is that what you do?
Totally. I'm trying to give her guideposts so that she's reaching for something. So she's not just lost in the middle of a monologue, lost in the middle of a show, that she's reaching from this guidepost to this guidepost. And sometimes what's really exciting to watch is that if you can build, like, there's a large monologue that is that we worked the other day that is daunting and really deep, but beautiful, so well written. And I would say, like, the first part of it, we're talking about the guidepost of this happened and this happened. And what is her perspective on that? And kind of poking her to find that. And then there's a certain point where it's just a waterfall, where we've built up this thing. And if she can hit those guideposts and we built up that thing, then it all just kind of falls into place after that. And I don't have to touch a thing because she's already just sliding down the waterfall. And that's a beautiful thing too.
Well, we know that this is art, and it can be subjective, and different people feel different things. But as the director directing this, what would be the feeling you would like people to experience after coming off of this production?
I honestly, there's a certain release and comfort I get from this music and from this album. As much as like peaceful that sounds, this album rocks. Like, it's not like there's ballads, but like, you know, I would say most of it aren't. Like, I would say like there's two ballads maybe, but the rest of them are like it goes in. So especially the last song goes in. The last song is called "I'm Gonna Die."
This show just has such like really like literal titles. We're gonna die. There's a lot of it's like, oh, you're saying this show is dark. I'm surprised.
Well, the last song is "I'm Gonna Die," but I think what's so great about it, and not to give it away, but like the idea of it is that so many times when you go see a play, it's about like you're trying to find your way into making a connection with the story that's happening on stage, because the story that's happening on stage is something specific that's being made universal, and this play is saying we're gonna all die someday, all of us in this room, but that's okay, and that's kind of great actually, that we can all just sit, look at each other and have this common humanity, and let's not live life afraid of suffering. Suffering is part of life, and joy is part of life, and the joy makes the suffering better, and the suffering makes the joy better, and you can't have one without the other. I know a lot of people who like just seek the joy, and I think that the suffering makes the joy only better, and I think that's kind of what the play is giving you, these stories to kind of be like, hey, we know it can be bad sometimes, but also that's part of it. And isn't that great? Isn't it great to be a human being? And life can be so, so depressing, but also that here's the joy on the other end of it. And I think it does a pretty good job of proving that thesis. There's one song that I love, that I genuinely love, called "Horrible Things." Mm-hmm. And the lyrics are, "Who do you think you are to be immune from tragedy? What makes you so special that you should go unchained? I forget what that word was. And it's so much about like how, yeah, I know this horrible thing happened to you, but you're not the only one that horrible things happen to. Horrible things happen to everyone. And that's a good thing, actually. That's the thing that I can find commonality with the person next to me at this concert. Whereas maybe if I'm watching some other play, I'm watching the stage and I'm like, well, I have this opinion and da da da. The thing about this place is trying to find a common humanity in a time when we don't feel like we have that.
Yeah, it's true. Like I think that there's something healthy in how dark it sounds. I think there's something healthy in understanding that you know, and yes, there's levels to horrible things that happen to different people at different times and stuff like that. But I think it's healthy to definitely think of the world as, yeah, there's this negative stuff and really negative stuff, but there are also positive stuff, and sometimes there's no way around it. And if you live your life always thinking, oh wow, and there's always this negative stuff all the time and stuff like that, it's that's definitely not healthy. You're not going to be moving at all. Even if it's justified, you're still not moving, and it's
totally
there's definitely an important message.
Yeah, I think that the play is coming from a point of view of like, and I feel like this happened to me too, where you go through grief, and at the end of it, the last step of grief is supposed to be acceptance. So the play is trying to actually be told from a point of view of acceptance. The point of view of the play is supposed to be, you've gone through this, but then let's come out to the other side of this, where we've accepted this this part of what happened to us, and how do we get comfort from that?
Not holding this big rock on your back for the rest of your life. That
exactly
weighs you down. Yeah.
Yeah. I think that I worry sometimes about the description feeling like it's pushing people to think that it's all about these horrible things, but it's actually about life and about what we go through and how do we come out the other end healthier.
Nice. So thank you for talking to me, Monty. If you just want to let everyone know a little bit more information about the show one more time, but it was great talking to you.
Yeah, it was good talking to you too. Miraculously, we have wergonnadie.com.
Right.
So you can go get more tickets. You can get your tickets there and you can buy, and you can find out more information about when it is and where it is and all that. It's at the Bootleg, which is such a cool concert venue. We'll see you there.